Welcome to the OFX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton, and along with me is our mostly muddy maiden, Bethany McChesney, who is an athletic brute.
Yeah. I was just telling Dave, I'm really bad at some of this kind of stuff when it comes to like promoting products and stuff that I'm supposed to, but I am an like officially an Athletic Brewing ambassador. But I had got accepted onto the team of ambassadors when this summer when my mom got sick, so I completely brushed it off to the side and then kind of forgot about it, and just recently got a message saying you're supposed to be making posts and stuff. So Athletic Brewing has a new logo. It's very nice. Little bold blocking
And,
on the
and
side.
what one is that? Because I have my favorite, actually. I have a favorite athletic brew.
So this is the IPA, the Run Wild IPA, which is my favorite.
See, I'm all about the light. The light is still the best.
Oh, I love my IPAs.
And there you go. You know what? Not only will Bethany do a good job of posting things, we will mention Athletic Brew very much on the podcast because I'm very much a fan as well.
Yeah, and I will find my link where you can order through my
account. Even though I am not an official ambassador for some reason. But anyway. Yeah. All right. Yeah, Athletic Brew, great. But not only is that great, Duonamic is great, and that's what sponsors us. So, you know, brought to you by Duonamic, which you can drink your Athletic Brew while doing pull-ups on Duonamic systems.
Yes.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Through a straw, one of them, like, party hats.
Oh, just hang and drink?
Yes. Yes. I think I'm going to get a picture of that. I did do the best Athletic Brew commercial ever when I did that one, but I don't even know
if you noticed did.
It was the best one ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk right about Blue. Let's get in, because I mean, it was a slop fest.
Yeah, and I probably had the cleanest course of the entire weekend, so I can't really complain too much. Because we were the beast and we were first. And I think it just went downhill from there. So it was raining the week up. So we all knew it was going to be muddy. And then, yeah, it rained lightly throughout our entire race. So nothing ever became dry at any point. And it was pretty sloppy when we went. Like I took a pretty good tumble in the first 2K or so. I tried to surge a little bit to try to gap. At least on some obstacles, and because I know she'd get me on the technical stuff. And then as soon as I went to surge, all of a sudden I was rolling down the hill. And I was like, okay, this is not the course today that you're running fast, and you just, for safety's sake, you have to just take it easy and run. And yeah, some of the downhills were super sketchy. Like, I don't know anybody who didn't take a good spill at some point. And like the turns and the switchbacks in the single track, even because all the leaves were covered the track too, and that's super slippery. And we all know, if you've done the Beast at Blue, they always have this one downhill that you run up to it and you feel like you're gonna jump off a cliff. It's so steep, and that one, I can't even imagine what it was like later, because I still had to slide down on my butt when it was the driest it was all weekend. So yeah, the mud got progressively worse, and just watching the race as Saturday went on, and people were just succumbing to it being a mudslide, and there was no more running down the hill.
That was the worst I've seen it since OCRWC, far and away. Like, it was tragic. I got the chance to go up before and run a lot of the penalty loops and run a lot of the course. And even then, when it was, it hadn't got as bad yet. And I'm like, this is going to be a mess. Like, it's going to be tragic. Because we knew, like you said, we knew the rain was coming. And it was just, it lived up the hype as far as being a crazy, tragic mess. But like, if that was dry, that would have been a great course. Like, it would have been so cool.
I know. Blue is always such an amazing course. It's one of my favorites. It has such a good combination of steep climbs, steep downhills, but even like kilometers of beautiful single track along the top of the mountain. There's runnable sections, there's power hiking sections. It's just, it has the perfect mix of everything. I love Blues Course. And then a lot of the big obstacles are in the festival area also, and or like in Blue Mountain Village, right on the edge of it. So you have the random spectators who have nothing to do with the race that are kind of watching and like get really hyped when you like hit the bell and stuff. So it's just, it's a course that just kind of has a little bit of everything. So yeah, it would have been, I mean, it was beautiful muddy, but it's extra beautiful when it's dry and you can kind of run and not be staring straight down at your feet the whole time.
I think they were excited about when you hit the bell just because like not too many people were hitting bells.
No, I don't think I've ever failed so many obstacles ever in a race. And it was kind of what everyone said. Everything was just always wet. And if it wasn't wet, it was muddy and your shoes were muddy. And yeah, I failed six obstacles. Some of it too, for me anyways, is I haven't been focusing on OCR. And coming into this race, like I can do Spartan obstacles without extra grip training. When they're dry. So when they're wet, if you've not really done obstacle training, yeah, I didn't get anything that was like all the rigs.
You said six obstacles, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so yeah, and that is spear.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got the rig, but like monkey bars, beater, I didn't get
twister.
Stairway, but yeah, I didn't get twister. Stairway is just so sketchy when it's wet, and because it was on the tarmac in the village, I just get so sketched out of slipping on those like the playground holds. I'm sure I could have got it. I just at that point I'd failed like five obstacles and I'm like, meh. What's another 200 meters?
And for the most part, let's be honest, the penalty loops were not that long.
They were longer than so when I ran around the course Friday night, I was shocked at how short I thought they were, and they expanded all of them.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So they were longer than I thought they were going to be. Oh, and I failed Olympus, but I don't know anyone who got Olympus that day. It was so wet.
My buddy Cedric Kennard got it.
Oh, yes, your grip training client.
Yeah, he got he did. He's one of the few people I know that ran a clean race that got through the whole thing.
Oh,
actually, wow. Send me a video on Stairway where him and another buddy were fighting over a foothold. It was just a lot of French swearing. It was quite funny.
Oh, yeah, man, that obstacle just sketches me out. I don't know.
The Stairway is difficult. Like, it's definitely challenging because, you know, you really have to do one of two things. You either have to pretty much do a hand cupped on the other hand, pull up to reach up to the second hold if you're not tall enough to jump to the two, and then another half pull up to reach up to the third, unless you have the confidence and flexibility enough to hold that bottom one and walk your foot up beside and get a foot on the hold beside it and then pull up that way. And then you got to be like really confident that you're not going to slide off and fall down and hit the ground because there's never any padding below it.
Yeah. So
it's tough. It's a tough one.
Yeah.
You were in good company. I saw everybody failing everything. Like, it was crazy. And yeah, and like I said, so the penalty loops, I went out the day before on Friday and I ran a lot of them, and I very much vehemently told them that most of these loops are too short.
And yeah.
They did extend some. I don't think they extended them all, but they did extend some, and that was good. Cause I mean, some of them, even, I mean, I don't want to rain on a parade, even though it was a really good event and there was a lot of rain. But the spear throw one was like, that was like 35 seconds. It takes longer to throw the spear.
I was going to say, I don't even remember. Oh, it was, yeah, I remember it now. It was pretty short. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, go by the chairlift and come back down.
Yeah.
And yeah. So some of them were disappointing. The one for Twister was deadly.
That one was actually really annoying because it was just, switch back and forth, back and forth, back and forth around. And I mean, that one was in the village, so you can only do so much also. But yeah, it was a lot of just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, like 20 times.
as an obstacle guy, that penalty made me smile.
Yeah, I was annoyed.
You deserve it.
I should have tried harder on that one. That's not even that hard.
No, so it was crazy. So, and I mean, we didn't really, you ended up getting third overall for female.
Yeah.
Which is great. And I actually think it's probably more impressive because, like you say, you're not been training for this. You've been zoned in on DECA, yeah, getting ready for Worlds. And I can't imagine, because I went out and did the 5K after. And in my head was, don't get hurt. Don't get hurt. And I'm just doing a fun run with buddies.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't get hurt. I couldn't imagine going through your head actually trying to compete and having even, you know, being in more of the elite waves for Worlds, just having that in the back of your mind, like, how much do you bother? And
well, and that's why when I took that tumble at the beginning, I, for a split second, I was like, just drop out. This is not worth it. Cause I did roll my ankle on it. I can roll my right ankle though, and I don't always get sprains though, because I actually am missing a bunch of ligaments in that ankle. I have to tape it every time I race. But so it was fine in the end. But at first I was like, this isn't worth it if you're going to get hurt. So then after that, I wouldn't really say I was in total race mode in my head after that. I was in just run and enjoy the mountain and take zero risks at all. Like there were sections where I would just walk if I couldn't see my feet. Like it was just not worth it for me to injure myself. So my A goal was finish uninjured. And then I didn't really care in the end how I place. It's always nice to podium, but I think once I, like, the top three women had kind of separated ourselves early anyways. So as long, I just kept running. And I mean, even I failed so many obstacles, but everyone was failing. So I just kind of maintained my position throughout the race.
Yeah. The you guys, like the men's field was, to be honest, everybody was very spread out. There was only one really good race at the high end of the elite that I saw. And that was between Tyler Krusianinski and Nick Best, who had the coolest race all day, passing each other like 9 times back and forth. Nick was just amazing at running up the hills. He's very new to obstacle course racing. He's more of a trail runner and mountain runner and such, but was killing the uphill climbs, just smashing them. And then, you know, I'm not trying to be mean, but he was just terrible at all the obstacles. So Tyler, who is a very experienced obstacle course racer, would get through the obstacles, make up the ground. Well, Nick was doing penalty laps and they were just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And Tyler didn't make the very final pass until they were on the, I think on the sandbag carry right near the end.
Oh, okay.
And then he just managed to hold on from that point.
Yeah.
So it was a great race. It was really good with them. Jesse Bruce, absolutely dominant. But having one of us, he calls it an absolute disaster on the obstacles.
Yeah. Well, and he's kind of in the same position as me. Like we were chatting after and he just said, we weren't training for this at all. And he's like, I'm not doing any obstacle training. And he said, same thing as me. Like, I'd be fine if it was dry, but he failed a couple obstacles too.
Yeah. We're not going to rub it in. We're not going to rub it in. Cause he's had enough of, Martin posted all the videos of him failing things.
Yeah.
I was polite. I posted the interview. I have videos of him coming off some stuff too, but I didn't bother. But it was, I'm sure it was, I said to him, I said, well, he probably made a lot of other people feel good seeing him fall off, knowing that they fell off too. So even up.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a good end of the season. You know what? It was good. And I think, I don't know about you, but I saw a lot of anticipation and excitement for next year with the rule changes.
I think it is being received very well actually with the rule changes, and like we've noticed, it doesn't change much except I think it's good for the elites because they get those. And so the rule change we're talking about is it's one competitive wave now, and they're starting in corrals based on projected finishing times. And you have your top three, and then everyone else goes in, you're considered in your age group, which is exactly how it should be. And this is how it is in road racing and triathlon and every other type of racing situation. It's good. It rewards people now who are racing elite. So then that fourth place girl is, or male is, first place in their age group instead of just being SOL when it comes to any sort of podiums, when they made the choice to race elite, when they could have raced age group and they would have won their age group. So it's just the way it should be.
Yeah. And it and I think especially in the women's field, where I think there's been a lot of women who have been hesitant to jump up into elite to take that chance. Now it's like, you don't have to think about it anymore. You're just, you're just running competitive. So you're going to end up where you end up, and that's great. And I've told you, I noticed, I went through the stats and it's like in age group, the top 10 finishers in age group, right? So like could be in different age groups, could be, you know, 20 to 25, 40 to 45, whatever. But the top 10 guys that finished in age group would have finished 6 through 16 in elite. And I'm like, that's the kind of thing.
So, and those are, again, so those are the people that should probably be racing elite, but they don't because they don't get their age group podiums.
That's right. That's right. And that's where I think, I mean, I've gone on about sandbagging tons and how it bothers me. And that'll be gone. That's just not a possibility now. And I think that's fantastic. It's great. I also think it'll be good to always see nice, good first waves. You know, it's not going to be three people or whatever. Did you see in Michigan, there was one woman in the elite wave?
Yeah. Like, I feel like
that's why this is happening.
Because Canada hasn't had prize money in a while, but I feel like in the US, these elite heats are even worse.
Yeah, and it's surprising because, you know, I mean, generally it's a bigger population, but we do get really good turnouts. And I guess that's what's gone over. But we've seen some bad ones. We've seen some three women elite heats before. And I thought Spartan did a smart thing this time where they just put everybody, all the elites in the same wave and sent them, which I've always thought was a great idea.
So they've done that this whole season.
Yeah. How did that go over for you? Do you like that?
Yeah, I like it. Like it's, I mean, there's not so many that it's ever congested and it gets pretty spread out. And then you end up like racing with some of the males too. So.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. And like you say, there's, you might be, and maybe the women's field gets spread out, but then you can, you're beside some guy you're running with and, you know, challenging yourself with whatever you, there's more options.
Yeah. And I think it pushes some of the women, but it pushes some of the men too. And I haven't really had issues in Spartan racing with like men getting overly upset about a woman being in front of them. Like it's a sport where they do find like, there's a lot more respect between the genders. Actually, it was interesting. I was looking, and in both races this weekend, so the Beast and the Super, the top three women were in the top 10 overall.
Yeah.
Which is kind of
cool. I'm not surprised. And honestly, I think you're right. Like the culture with OCR is generally like, I don't know. I'm used to getting smashed by fast women. I know. Yeah. I remember one of my highlights is beating Rachel Waters at a race. I'm like, yeah, like I was really, really pleased with myself with that. Right. Like she's a badass. So I'm like, that's awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've never taken it as a slight. I always take it as a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, if you got a faster girl running up behind you on your left,
like, right. Go. Yeah. Right? And like on the second day, Elise Hewitt was fourth overall.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not surprised. One thing about the new rules that was brought up to me as a potential negative, and I never thought of this, and with Sean Philipto brought this one up, and he said the one thing that scares him, and this could go backfire a little bit, is they've built the age group so much now where it's such a people put so much pride into getting on the age group podium, and it's made the age group podium mean something. Let's just say, for argument's sake, next year Atkins is at a race, has a bad race, finishes fourth. Is he sticking around to collect his age group podium? You know what I mean? Like, I'm just using that as an example. I'm not slagging Atkins or whatever. I'm just saying, could be anyone, could be Sammy Bear, could be whatever. But
yeah, well, I think if we take the stigma away of it being like, because we segregated them for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Spartan's doing, and it always bothered me because we're not talking two different types of people here. So as long as I think it's rewarded equally, like I think you have to do them at the same time.
Yep.
So do the elites and then you do the age groups right after. Don't do them later like they've done at Spartan races. Do them right away, and not having the burpee penalties, that also makes that a lot more simple. But yeah, if you give it equal recognition, I think it, it should be okay. And again, it's, we're not segregating the groups anymore. So hopefully those, like we're using Ryan Atkins because he's one of the best. So
yeah,
people like that wouldn't be so upset about. But I mean, if he's upset about his fourth place finish, he might not stay anyway. So, but I don't think that that's going to be the common trend.
I hope not. So elites, if you drop down to fourth and end up with an age group podium, hang around.
Yeah.
Make it worth something. It means something to everybody else, and it should mean something to you.
Well, and I've always felt that way with the podiums. Yeah, anyways, like it's, you know, have respect for the organization too and stick around. If you can, people have to leave and there's reasons and stuff. But I mean, it happens sometimes when someone who wants to win finishes third.
Yeah. I missed a podium this year at RX1 in the finals.
I miss every podium.
Yeah. I know. I've gotten more of your podiums at RX1 than you have. But we waited a long time, but it was pouring rain and there was so many damn awards. And I'm like, that's it. I'm out. I was getting hangry. I'm like, I got to get out of here. I got to go. Yeah. I got to go have some poutine. And I did. And it was really good. Mm-hmm. I stand by my decision.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's anyway, I think still overall, lots of positive outlook for next year. I'm looking forward to next year. We don't, and I was talking to Rye about this. I'm looking forward to going to some races now and doing what I did this weekend or last weekend and being at that finish line, doing those finish line interviews, getting some more videos, posting some more stuff and highlighting more of the Canadian athletes. Because now I'll be honest, like I didn't want to go to the races and do it too much. Cause there who knows if there was going to be an elite field at all. And then there was no elite series. So it was just age group. And then, I mean, there's like 19 different age groups. I can't possibly cover that, but now it's going to be making sense. There's going to be a three race series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited to that. I want to go to that. Like I said, and I'm going to talk to Spartan. Hopefully we can get an OFX tent set up. We can do all sorts of fun stuff.
I'm really excited about it. And this weekend was really big. So I don't know if you heard exact numbers, but I had heard that we had 7,000 people this weekend.
Yeah. In around the 7,000 mark. Yeah. And the OCR in Canada, maybe not in the competitive. On the competitive, I'll be honest, it tanked this year. The elite competitive side sucked ass. But the overall mass participation was fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Like, we had great numbers. Tough Mudder, I was told Tough Mudder had almost 9,000 people for that Tough Mudder down. And I mean, that's fantastic. Like, I think Dead End and Course Extreme both did very well. I'm not sure about X Warrior. I need to talk to X Warrior more often. I think I got to get out in touch with them. They're out west and they run a really good promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And X Men went up, but came back this year, and Northman came back. And I'm like, there was some good stuff. So.
And I had a couple of clients jump into this one for the first time and absolutely loved it. Like, they're already stoked about next season. So that's kind of, it's like, I feel like it's the Spartan community, OCR community in Canada is making a really big comeback. So we're on the upswing.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And I think next year is going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm, you know, I don't usually like to do the Spartan loving thing, but I think the Canadian brand in particular is doing a lot of good stuff. Yeah. And overall, the head office with, it seems to be new, I don't want to call it new management, but new shuffling of the deck chairs.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me like there's been some logical progression. So I'm excited. I'm wearing my Spartan shirt now, which incidentally, I like these ones.
I do like them too. Yeah.
Yeah. Even though they ran out of larges and I had to get a freaking extra large, but and you know what though? I like it actually. I haven't worn an extra large in a long time. And I like that it's longer because I am a short legged, long torso dude. And I like the longer one.
That's the style now.
That's right. Anyway, but we have to get to our guest. And sadly, Beth will not be participating in the interview because she hates us. So she has family stuff to do. But anyway, we're going to get to our guest. This weekend's winner, Lisa, I'm going to give my best, Masaccio. I think I'm pretty close.
Maybe a Chio.
Masaccio? Maybe. All right. We'll figure it out. She will correct me either way. Here we go. All right, here with that, and I'm going to do my best here. You can correct me when I'm wrong. Lisa Masaccio?
Yeah, perfect.
See, I did it.
Just call her music.
Yeah. My wife's impressed. She's very proud of me. So we were just saying, we're without Bethany. She had to go do mom stuff. But is that the first time you guys have got to race?
So I raced against her, I think, in 2019 at Palmerton.
Okay.
But I don't know, like it was still sort of new for me, and I don't know if I actually like officially met her. She beat me there, and I think Amanda Nadeau won that race.
Yeah, man,
I don't think I've raced her since, but
Amanda's been away from it this year. So, like, I'll be completely honest. I think much like down in the States, a lot of the elite Canadians got put off this year. They were not, they weren't happy about mostly the lack of the series, I think, really became the
yeah,
problem.
I think that disappointed me the most too, especially like I was sort of ramping up my training to be more competitive, and my favorite thing, is the longer courses, more like I loved that they had the mountain series, and then they just got rid of sort of what I think Spartan really is known for, like their technical, long, tough, running races with obstacles, and then they just kind of said, "Eh, we're not going to do that. We're going to do this weird 3K thing."
So I was supposed to go run the 3K and I ended up having to back out. But I liked the 3K idea. I do not like the way they presented it, and I
Yeah.
do not like the way they organized it. And I'll be honest, actually, I'm lying. I don't like the 3K. I like the 1K qualifiers and then have another
Okay, yeah.
1K race. So if you did 2 1K qualifiers to a 1K finale, that would be cool, fun ass what race to watch.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I think overall, like it's a unique thing. Like I don't mind change. I think it works for some athletes. Like some athletes really enjoy that, like short course, sort of more obstacle proficient, is necessary. And I think that's really great. Just for me personally, that's not one of like my favorite things. I'm more like long grindy, love the gorgeous views of, the mountains and technical terrain. But I still think it's cool and I loved it as an option. I just was disappointed that they just solely went with that option and then just got rid of everything else.
I think if they had done it where instead of doing it on Friday, again, Friday, so now you're asking everybody to come a day early and stuff. And then the whole point of it is to watch it and nobody's there to watch it. But if they had like you did in your, say, take Saturday, for example, you did your race Saturday through the morning, in the morning, right? You guys run first thing in the morning. And then they hosted the one, the, I'm going to make it a 1K, the 1K at like 4 in the afternoon. So you guys have time to rest, recover, eat, all that stuff. One qualifying. Just one qualifying 1K. Everybody goes time trial style. Boom, 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 goes through it. Top, whatever, 15, you're plucked into the final. I think they would have had a lot of people buy in, including just regular people, regular racers who like, well, I'm here anyway. Here's $50. I'm going to try it.
Absolutely. And that is honestly like one of the biggest reasons why I didn't even try it is just because, so I'm a teacher. So taking off work anyway is just a little challenging during the school year. And then to travel also, and then like the money aspect too. So just all of those factors included, if you put it on a Friday and I have to travel, let's say like to Big Bear or like and somewhere else, like I just can't make it. So I should prioritize more if I really wanted to do it. But it's tricky. A Saturday, I would definitely do it.
I said to Bear, I said, at Blue Mountain, you guys should have just had a race where we just ran straight across the bottom, hit all those obstacles right across the bottom, ran right across. It would have been so much fun. But maybe we should talk about you. So apparently you are on like a massive tear.
Yeah, this season has been absolutely insane. I honestly, I mean, I know I put in the hard work, but I really wasn't expecting to pay off quite like it has.
How many of you won in a row now?
So this was the ninth one in Ontario.
Nice. That's crazy. And I mean, where all have you been? Because I'm not even sure where you located out
So I'm from Maryland.
of. Okay.
I live like 30 minutes outside of Baltimore. And so I run a lot of the East Coast races. I started this season, which I lately have started a lot of my seasons in New Jersey, to start the season. And then I did Cincinnati, which was really cool, actually. That was a very challenging course, surprisingly. And then I went to Palmerton and then down to Asheville, North Carolina. And then West Virginia, did that one, which I love. And then Killington, which is like one of my like ultimate favorites in Vermont. And then every year I try to put like one new one where we sort of have to travel a little bit. And I've sort of been looking at some Canadian races, and Blue Mountain always looked like so beautiful, and just mountains are sort of my favorite thing. So wanted to sort of check that one off the bucket list.
So the first thing that occurs to me when you list off all those is these are not cherry-picked races. Like these are big time, well attended, like Killington. That's like one of the most legendary Spartan races there is. That always has a great turnout. So I mean, you're not picking out like the Ottawa, or sorry, the Calabogie Super Sprint weekend or whatever. It's that's awesome. That's really good. So you're really, really
Thanks.
catching fire. What do you think has brought you to that level that has jumped you up this year?
Honestly, I think a big part has been I took the off season seriously, which I just think is funny. So I don't really have a running background, so that's not something that I necessarily comes easily to me. The strength I sort of have incorporated, like in college, I started like powerlifting and doing some other like HIIT workout interval type things. But then I really miss, like, I always played sports, so I just missed the running aspect. And when I graduated college, I was like, I want to get better just at running. And then when I found Spartan, I was like, this is perfect because I really don't enjoy running on the roads. I really enjoy the trails. I love hiking. So that just brought me out to sort of my favorite place out into the woods. So then I got into trail running, and I started listening to some podcasts, and then realized, like, you probably should start taking your off season seriously. So I made a good, well, the first one, so 2 years ago I made one, and it was sort of consistent, but it wasn't really detailed. I did a little bit of lifting, not that much. I ran here and there. It was more just like, just run when you feel like it. And I definitely improved. But this past winter, I really put in like a solid couple training blocks, and I was really focused and specific on the different lifts, like deadlifts and squats, and really built strength, and then really focused on running. And so I think that of everything else has really improved. And then my focus on grip strength and like obstacle proficiency. So I think I've just been now doing it that the obstacles are definitely more familiar to me. But I've also sort of really worked on, okay, how can I do them more efficiently, so I can save a little bit of energy while I'm doing them, and also sort of maybe pick up a couple seconds here and there.
So you decided to try.
Try harder.
Decided to try hard.
Yeah,
Actually,
try
so
harder.
you say about the obstacles, and I think I said this to you while I watched you go over it, but you had the smoothest stairway
Oh
that
yeah.
I saw all weekend. And it was just you, and if I correct me if I'm wrong, but it looked like you reached up, got the first hold, and then walked the feet up to get the other one, and then crawled up for there, and just the good flexibility and range of motion. It was super smooth. I don't think I saw anyone else do it as smooth as you did that weekend. Is that
Oh,
something you've practiced a lot?
so it was interesting too because I don't think any of the ones in the United States, I'm not sure, but you guys had the red
The kick block, kick plate.
step for the women.
Yeah.
And most of the ones that I've done don't have that. So the jump, like from the ground, is even higher. So I had to sort of figure out a way to, I had to jump and kind of grab with two hands. And then I was like, well, what do I do from here? So typically it was, okay, if I grab with two hands and then reach one more hold up, then if I can get my leg up and just hook sort of, my shoes in there, then almost like a rock climbing move where you push your arm up. And it seemed to work, and I've been doing it ever since.
It's really smooth. It just takes a little bit of courage because there's not a lot of, well, there's no padding under there. That's another thing.
Yeah, no, yeah, you have to be like sideways and be okay with that.
Yeah. But it was pretty good. And that was saved. So obstacle wise too. And let's talk about your race at Blue. Let's talk about your race at Blue. So how did you find the course? Because I mean, you said you were looking forward to it. Unfortunately, like the past 2 years, we have had unseasonably great weather
I
at
know,
Blue
perfect
Mountain.
weather.
It has been unbelievable. Like, and I kept telling them, we said it all the time, you guys are going to get caught. You're eventually going to get hit because this is October in Canada. And it's, yeah. I mean, you can have anything. So you rolled the dice and came on the bad time for the weather. So how did it go for you? Like even starting on the initial climb.
Yeah, so that very first hill, I remember, because I knew it was climbing, but right after we like they started and we went turn the corner, boom, hill. And it's like, I mean, at least the second day, I'm sure it was like a mud fest, but like at least we had some grass and stuff to like hold up. But I was, man, like we were all on top of each other climbing up.
It's like a 20-foot hill, but it's ridiculously steep.
It's so steep. Yeah. And it's, yeah, thank goodness it doesn't go any longer. But I was just like, okay, like you were climbing now. Like, let's go. But yeah, and I like that it sort of meanders through the ski resort, like up through the mountain. There's definitely a lot of climbs, but then you do get like a little bit of sort of crossover, which is nice, and then a little bit of single tracking, and then you pop back out again as you sort of climb up. I mean, I just kept sort of peeping behind me at the view. I mean, it was so nice, even though it was rainy, it was still really, really beautiful. When it comes to, you know, climbs, especially like I think about Palmerton, sort of has the same feel where you climb pretty significantly up right away. It's definitely hard to slow down. Like you see everybody sort of running away from you. But I've noticed with myself, it definitely takes my body a little, even though I warm up really well, it takes my body a little bit of time to like calm down with the nerves and excitement, but then also be like, okay, we're really like working hard here. So like we need to slow down and just pace yourself and breathe. So I was just trying to keep some of the girls that were ahead of me in sight, but just sort of know that like I need a little bit of time to get in a groove. And then as we sort of worked our way up and sort of some of the single tracking came up, I'm a little bit, well, I've been training and working on it, trying hard to work on my foot, like sort of my footing and like quick feet with the rocks and the tree roots and things like that. So that has improved too. So I sort of ended up passing I think it was Elise maybe.
Yeah, at least Hewitt.
Yeah, okay, Hewitt, yeah. Like right at the end. Sarah and or Elise and Bethany and I were all sort of like, I guess, right at the end there. I also, when we got to the top, realized that your Herkoist is a little different too. It's, and I don't know if it's always that way, but which I like it because it made it harder. Because I always think it's a little too easy, at least for the women. But I know the bags were heavier because it was wet. But your pulley system is tighter. Like it doesn't flow as
This is the first
easily.
time I've seen it like that, where the rope was like an entire loop.
Okay.
And I
Yeah, it
so I
was
had
so
not
much
seen
harder.
them.
It's not normally like that.
I had not seen them build it like that before. So it was
Okay.
definitely different this year. But I noticed it too. It's like, okay, this is different. This is
You
different.
really had to put some muscle behind it, which I like. That was fine, but it caught me off guard.
Did now a couple of years ago, they got really wet and we had a lot of people taking, I think this was when they had that we had the North American series. Here, we had a couple of people taking penalties there, just essentially saying nuts to that, and I'm going to go take the penalty. Did
Yeah.
you see anybody doing that in your end this year?
No.
No? Okay,
Actually,
well, that's good.
Bethany, Elise, and I were all sort of there. Like I got there, I think first, and then a few seconds later, they came up. So we were all sort of doing it and finishing it close together. And they, I mean, they handled it fine too. It was just you sort of had to just brace yourself and prepare for it. But no, I didn't see anybody choose not to do it or move on.
Then I guess the first overhead obstacle would have been the monkey bars. And
Yes.
I mean, even though it was wet, it shouldn't have been too muddy because you guys were the first wave out, right? So you guys get through that okay, no problem.
Yeah, that was fine.
Yeah. When did it start getting a little chaotic?
Running wise or obstacle rise?
Either or,
Or
first
body
one, then
shutting
the
down
other.
because it was too cold. I will say my favorite part was the very top as you're walk, like so we did the ridge line a little bit, and there's that trail portion where you're starting to come down. It was like a totally new world. Like it was absolutely gorgeous with like the bright yellow leaves on the bottom, the bright yellow orange leaves on top. You had like bridges you were going across and like waterfalls and streams coming down. It was beautiful. I just wanted to like stop and take it in.
Well, that's good because you had to go across the bridges really slow anyway, didn't
You did, yeah.
you?
Holding on to the railing for
Yeah.
dear
Yeah. Very slick. Very, very
life.
slick.
Yeah. And there were a lot of bridges too.
Yeah.
So
Well, I think
yeah,
they
that
tapped
was
into
good.
a lot of the mountain bike trails,
Okay. Yeah,
right?
that
So I
makes
think
sense.
that's, yeah, it seems to be the way they roll. But I was about to say the one I heard that actually got a lot of people. I didn't get to see because it was midway, but a beater seemed to happen to get a lot of people.
I actually got beater, and I'm very pumped about that because I had failed that many times this year. So finally was successful with beater, but it was hard. It was very wet. And sometimes depending on how far that, so you swing on the first beater and then you have to get to the next rotating one. And depending on how far that is or how it sort of adjusted, it was quite a leap. So I actually had to sort of readjust and get a really big swing to try to reach for it again. But thankfully I did get that one. The one that really slipped me up, well, Olympus was like way too slippery. And at that time I was so cold. It was so funny because I have a new strategy that seems to work really well this year, which is to get my feet up really high and go across there. But it was so wet, they slid out like right away and I fell immediately. And I just really started laughing. The volunteer was so sweet. She was laughing at me and she's like, "It's okay. It's okay. You're still smiling." And I like ran off to do that.
I remember talking to her earlier in the day, and I'm like, you are going to be very busy.
Yeah. Yes. And then the other one that was actually sort of disappointing was I did fail the twister, and I don't normally.
Just missed that too. And that was right after you swam up stairway. And I'm like, okay, I want to get over there and see. And I
I
was a little
know.
slow getting over that. I want to see this girl do Twister because I mean, she just killed this one amazingly. And I know that gets a lot of women and I got to get over there. And then I get there and you're running in switchbacks.
Yeah, it was really, really disappointing. But honestly, I at that point I don't really think there was anything I could have done. So going across some of the obstacles, if my hands got wet and then the wind, I was just getting so cold that I was losing feeling in my fingers, and that's a big problem for me with like colder races. I don't have great circulation, and that just ends up being sort of a troubling, frustrating factor. So when I got to the twister, my hands were so cold that trying to just readjust in that middle section, they just hurt and they were losing, and I was going slow, and so I ended up dropping like halfway through. But it's interesting because then I started running up and the wind stopped and it stopped raining, and so as I was running back up the hill and like blowing on my hands actually warmed up a lot. So by the time I came back down for the rig, I was like okay and good to go. So
And the
sort
rig
of.
seemed all right. The rig did. I don't know if it was where it was, but even when I ran later in the weekend and everything was absolute mud fest, it still seemed to remain pretty dry.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, lucky that way.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. And then at this point, what we should point out too was you had built a very good lead. You had got a good lead. You had put a good run in, and you were still running very well. Like the fact when you see someone fail an obstacle, and like you say, still smiling, still nope, I'm going to hustle this penalty loop and keep going. It was you could tell you were really in control. And then spear throw that didn't go great either.
That has not been my friend. We actually built a spear, I don't know, contraption thing, at home. So I started towards like the middle end of the season, but it's not paying off yet. But that's okay. We'll just, try harder. I have a lot more like upper body strength and control that I sort of want to work on. So we'll keep working. Hopefully it'll be more successful next year.
Awesome. So all in all, you're coming back next year?
Well, to Ontario, or yeah, I
Well, I
would love
figured you'd
to.
be back in racing next year, so.
Yeah. I would love to. I also there's a couple other races that look really exciting to me too. Red Deer looks pretty cool, and it's right by Banff, which is one of my other just destination, travel locations I'd love to get to.
Red Deer is like severely unappreciated because it is different. It is flat and fast,
Yeah, I have
but
heard that.
it's a good course. And then it always right near the end finishes with like this big 150 step staircase
Oh,
that is just kills you right near the end. But
that's
and if you go
awesome.
there, then well, if you go there as a guy, you're gonna come second because Mick Jarrello is gonna win because that's just what he does there.
That's what he does. Okay.
And then we'll go from there. But yeah, it's fun. We went to Red Deer and we had a great time out there. I really enjoyed it. It's a good spot. And it's not too bad to get to because you can fly into Calgary or Edmonton, and then
Okay.
it's about a
Yeah.
90-minute drive from either one.
Yeah, that's not too
So
bad.
it's a good place. I'd like to see that. So you say you did a lot of lifting and then you got into the running, which by the way is great because I'm not a natural runner, so I'm all for the people who come from not running.
Yes.
Are you going to venture out into some of the hybrid stuff?
I'm not sure, honestly. It does look fun. It's definitely something that I've done before, like similar with the
Yeah.
type of, you know, lifting and HIIT interval type training I've done before. But I'm also, it's hard. It's also a lot of traveling and money to put towards competing, and so I think right now just my true love is still like the trail races, and I do love the Spartan. I do sort of want to maybe try like Savage races that are here, and just yeah, and just like
Have
I
you
want to
tried
get
one yet?
better with obstacles too, so that would be a challenge because I know that like you have to complete those, which I do like. Maybe even try OCRWC. So I think that's sort of more of where I want to focus, even though I think the hybrid's pretty cool. It's just not something I think I'm going to jump
I got
into.
a new one too. Midwest OCR is coming up in Indiana in 2024, which looks pretty cool.
Oh, that's
Put
cool.
on by the people who own Race Ready Obstacles. So they actually
Okay,
make
yes.
the obstacles. They're putting out a race next year. So I think it's a 10K. Looks pretty cool
Yeah, that
on the
sounds
list.
cool.
But
I'll
yeah,
check that out.
you on your side on that East Coast, they still have some great race. Like one of the ones I always wanted to try there was Frontline OCR.
Okay.
And that's one where you have to do all the obstacles in a weight vest. And
Oh.
if you complete all the obstacles in the weight vest, you get to keep the weight vest.
That's
That's
cool.
like your trophy. I'm like, I'm down with that. I gotta try
All
that.
right.
I like that one. So you've never done OCRWC though.
No, I know. And so last year was in Stratton, Vermont,
Yes.
correct? And I had just been to Killington, so I think like the thought of sort of coming back and navigating that. But then I was like, well, you know what? That sounds really cool. I'd love to try it. I love Vermont. Let's go back. And then they moved it to Mammoth, which is fine. Like that's sure. I'm like a really awesome location as well. I enjoyed running in Tahoe when I ran. But
Wow.
also it's just, again, it's just a lot of money and planning, and we didn't really budget or plan for that. So definitely in looking next year, I have more of like some, I want to find again some races that are going to be a little bit more competitive to sort of push myself even more. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the new series might look like. I'm excited to see like where they might be. And I'd love to travel just to new places because I've done all the East Coast ones many times, which I love them. And not to say I won't do some of them again. I just sort of am looking for something a little different.
So I think it is exciting to me that the series next year will be one beast, one sprint, one super, which is kind of like, why the hell didn't you do that years ago?
I
It just
know.
seems
The
so
trifecta
logical.
is the
It
thing.
seems so logical. It makes no sense. But anyway, so hey, better late than never, right? Whatever.
Yeah.
So we'll get in. So that is exciting. But yeah, you should totally try the Savage one. Like I've done a couple and they're a blast. They
You
put on
like
a
them?
great show.
Yeah.
Really well run company. And the obstacles are top notch. They're really well built and everything's done properly. And the mandatory completion is something different. I mean, that'll be a new thing for you if you've never done
Yeah.
OCRWC or whatever. And
Yeah.
it can be soul crushing, but it can also be, I mean, it's my favorite way to do it. I personally think Spartan should be mandatory completion. That's just me.
I do too. I think that could work really well. I mean, I do
Wouldn't
appreciate no more burpees, but
have made a lot of people upset this weekend, but it
yeah.
would have been a, and then potentially a bit of a line at Olympus. I get that, but I just still for me, I think it should be for elite and age groups, obviously competitive waves, and you know. That's where I think it should be. I just always been a fan. Makes up for my slow running. But yeah, all right. Well, I hope that we get to see you again up here. My suggestion would definitely try Red Deer. Obviously, Kelowna is
That was another one.
very
Yeah, that looked
beautiful,
pretty
but
amazing.
easier for you to get to Tremblant. Tremblant
Okay.
is it's like blue, but bigger.
Okay. That sounds
And
great. Right up my alley.
Yeah, it is really nice, and you can fly into Montreal, and it's I think probably 60 to 90 minute drive from airport in Montreal straight up to Mount Tremblant, and
Yeah,
just
it's.
gorgeous
I
place.
really would love to. I mean, it honestly would be great to run all of them. I had never been to Canada even, so this was
Oh
like my first
wow.
time. I know, and I wish we could have stayed longer. So there definitely are more places I'd like to see and more venues I'd like to check out.
Well, we definitely would love to have you back. Even if you did smash us. So whatever. Anyway, is there anything, any sponsors or anyone you want to shout out and say thanks to or anything like that?
My husband, Lewis, he is cooking dinner right now as we speak. he's a huge supporter and he's just cheers me on and lets me do, you know, this, all this traveling, and he loves it. So shout out to him. And my family, I mean, they support everything. They're so excited. They travel with me, which is great. So I have my little cheerleaders. And I had my aunts come and, you know, I finished the race and they were like throwing jackets and hats on me to keep me warm. So, yeah, it's definitely a group effort, to let me do this, which is awesome. And I don't have any sponsors, but I truly, am grateful for Mudgear. I love all of their socks, their pants. Absolutely love them. They keep me as dry as I can be and have comfortable.
Have you tried their gloves? They have
no.
They have new gloves. I haven't tried. I'm a bit of a glove aficionado, and I've tried them all, but I have not had a chance to do that. Mostly because they're fairly expensive as they are, but then to get them shipped up here is like another $50.
Oh.
So it's like you're paying like almost $100 for a pair of gloves. And I mean, I'd still like to try Mudgear if you'd like to send me a pair so I can test them. I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're good. And I was thinking when you were telling me, and of course, watching your race that day and heard you complain about your hands a couple times. I don't mean complain, but mention that your hands were sore and cold. But have you ever tried the Bleg mitts and sticking in the hot pocket in the Bleg mitt?
Yeah. And actually, I probably should have. So I brought them with me. I have them and I didn't bring them because I had my like grippy gloves instead. And I was like, well, those might help me a little bit more on obstacles, but I do, they are warm-ish. And I've worn them before, like in New Jersey when it was cold and rainy and I did okay. But I think it was just a little too wet and a little too cold. So I probably should have maybe managed to wear both or just gone with the Bleg mitts. Cause I think I would have been, a lot better off and warmer with the Bleg mitts. So, next time.
Well, awesome. Thank you very much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And you know what? I'm just going to, like, for me, it's nice to see somebody happy, excited, you know, ready for the future of OCR. And because, you know, let's be honest, it was a bit of a tumultuous year. And it's good to see someone like you, you know, as my wife says, like a ray of sunshine about it.
You know, I'm trying to be. It's a great sport. And you know, change is fine. Like we're going to ebb and flow and I don't always want to just, you know, be negative, but I think there's been some decisions that, you know, haven't been the best, but my hope is that we can sort of move forward. I think I'd love to see some like prize money or like incentives for elites too, to make it a little more competitive. I know they're also like a business, so they're managing a lot of things, but I love the sport and I want people to come out and do the sport. I want to compete. I love the women that I've met. I mean, it's been amazing. I've made really great friends. It's an awesome community. I just want to keep doing it and I want other people to try it. And
awesome. Well, thank you very much, Lisa. And we can't wait to see you race again.
Thank you so much. This has been great.